You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Good Tuesday afternoon. It's The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. I am Trey Wallace, alongside Bear. Bear, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Trey. How are you, sir?
I'm just living the dream, man. One day at a time. Cam's joining us today, Bear. We got Cam in the house.
How's it going,
Cameron
Bear?
Cameron Black. What's happening, brother?
Long time talk, since no talk.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. I miss you a little bit.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, same here, man.
It's been a minute. That's good. We got Cam in here today talking college football, SEC from yesterday, NFL news coming out today when it comes to contracts. Also, when it comes to stadium capacity, we'll talk about that. Got great guest lineup as usual. Josh Pate, 247 Sports, is going to join us today at 425. And then Bear's favorite, Dr. Bill Maurice, going to join us, president of the Mayo Clinic Labs in Minneapolis, Minnesota, will join us at 5:05, Bear, and I know you got questions ready.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got several. So hopefully he'll be able to explain some stuff I've been reading about and explain to our listeners and stuff to feel hopeful about. It's not all doom and gloom when it comes to the coronavirus, so I know that Dr. Bill and the folks up at the Mayo Clinic are working 24/7 on all kinds of things to better understand the virus and hopefully come up with an effective treatment for it. So,
yeah, excited to get him on. Always enjoy it. I'm sure we'll do Jam or No Jam later on in the show. Get anything interesting last night, Bear? Do anything fun?
Nah. I've been watching, rewatching Hell on Wheels. Finished that up.
What is that?
It was a show on AMC. It's about the Transcontinental Railroad. It had actually a pretty good cast. Guy Anson Mount, he's from the mid-state around Nashville. And then the rapper Common, if you're familiar with him.
I am familiar with the man Common. Yeah.
Yeah. He played a freedman. And it's just about the railroad, the building of the Transcontinental Railroad after the Civil War.
I watched We watched Den of Thieves last night. It was a Gerard Butler, 50 Cent in it. There's a couple actors you know. Shay Jackson's in it, Ice Cube's son. O'Shea Jackson. Yeah, he was in it. It was good, actually. They're coming out with a sequel to it, which would be interesting. And also found out last night they're also coming out with another, like, Olympus Has Fallen movie. So, like, Angel just fell, so I don't know what's going to fall this time.
They're running out of places.
I know. It was Olympus, then it was London, and then Angel. So I can't imagine what the next one's going to be like. But they're coming out with another one of those. So we'll end up seeing. Cam, what'd you do last night?
I didn't get into too much, man. I played a lot of Madden. It's kind of what my nights consist of nowadays. No, I've been still playing the old one. But just running through some franchises on that.
I heard they did player rankings today or something.
Yeah, they've been slowly like coming out with them. I think they came out with running backs today.
Okay.
They changed Saquon Barkley's rating like in 20 minutes after the fans were mad at it at first. And
no way.
Yeah, so it's they've been slowly getting those out there, but
damn, so when's the game come out?
I don't think it's till August.
Okay,
we got some time on that.
So you have to wait.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. But I just know how big of a gamer Bear is, so that's kind of why I wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, August 25th, Bear, if you want the new one.
I never really got it. I mean, I haven't gotten into Madden since the old days. It just got way too complicated. The one I'm still pissed about is there's still yet one more summer. This is right around the time we'd be getting NCAA.
Oh, yeah.
NCAA always came out in July.
Oh, yeah. I was always there the day it came out, sitting at Walmart, walking in early morning before football workouts, go in the football, and then go home and play NCAA the rest of the day.
And GameStop does not have NCAA 14.
It's tough to get. It's
I didn't know they were still in business. I thought they filed for bankruptcy.
They're struggling, but I didn't know that. They're trying to hold on. But
I guess they aren't. So I guess the only way you can find them is off eBay.
Yeah, use it online, and everybody, the price, it's pretty expensive to get one now, to get a hold of one.
Like what? How much?
I want to say it's up to like 80. It's at least the price of like a new game right now, and which is interesting.
It costs 20.
Like, I have mine still, so I'm holding on to that just in case I ever. I still play it every once in a while,
just
too.
In case
but,
you need like a 100 spot real quick, you can sell it off on Amazon.
Yeah, if I'm ever in a tough spot.
Makes interesting. Bear, what did you think yesterday? Let's dip in a little bit. SEC, they had their meetings yesterday with the athletic directors in Birmingham. Nothing really coming out of it besides the decision to hold off until probably the end of July to make a decision when it comes to college football, and even if they're going conference schedule. What was your thoughts yesterday? Expected?
I mean, it was. You know, I think most of it came out after we were off the air, you know, that I think that they're, you know, they're pushing it back as far as I think if Sankey and they had to make a decision like today, I really wonder if we'd be having college football. I think that they're trying to squeeze as much time, put it off as long as they can so that hopefully, you know, some of the numbers will come down and Sankey and all the ADs and presidents will feel a little bit more comfortable starting the season. I think without, you know, he was about as, I don't think he could have put it in any more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Direct terms.
Yeah. That, they need to see the numbers come down, or they're just not. It's just not going to be feasable. So,
well, the SEC just released a statement. The last 3 minutes, they have postponed the start of volleyball, soccer, cross country to August 31st. So, probably no practices. I would imagine you can't practice. I have to read the full statement, but. Cam, you know about this stuff. Cross country stuff would start practicing in August, right?
Yeah, they would. Yeah, they absolutely would be practicing in August. So, that is pushing them back a little bit.
Women's soccer.
Yeah, about the same.
They start
much.
Off right when the season, football season starts, pretty much.
Yeah, they'd already be doing like in scrimmages and stuff, I think, in August.
Right. So it sounds like they're just pushing everything back until September until they figure out a date. Bear, I don't know, man, if you're saying that, you know, this is just other sports, and I get that, but if you're saying these can't start up and start practicing, I have to wonder, do we even get a fall camp, which will be interesting, and how they can start that up, and do they delay any of that? The delay in competition, they said, includes exhibition and non-conference games, but they're going to provide a safe... They're going to provide additional time to prepare for a safe return to collegiate athletics and competition. So something to keep in mind when it comes to the SEC. Other news that we'll get into today, Cade Mays, transfer from Georgia. Bear knows the family, you know, the football team over there, Catholic, all too well. I had an interview last night with Tom Mars, Bear, that you know, that was representing Cade Mays. Well, come to find out, Tom Mars stopped representing Cade Mays in May 8th. He handed over the case to other legal counsel and university compliance staff because he felt he couldn't do his job with the NCAA and also do his job with waivers at the same time. And then, so he also said that he did not have a waiver filed when he turned over the case. So that was in May. So then you have to think about it. And then another report comes out today, Bear, that they did not file the waiver for Cade Mays until last week.
Why?
The reason I got was when I asked for some kind of comment, they weren't going to go on the record about it. They wanted to put their best case forward, is the best way to put it, which doesn't make much sense to me. If we're sitting here in July, the NCAA's got 18 other things to worry about, and you're just now putting your case in. Tom Mars was working on that case from January 9th all the way to May 8th, and they hadn't put in the waiver yet, Bear. I don't get that part, dude.
The waiver, the request to get a waiver?
Well, yeah. They hadn't put the waiver request in, yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand that at all. Why would they not have filed that back in January or February?
I don't know why they wouldn't even. Honestly, I don't know why they wouldn't even file it in March or April. I don't think it would take 5 months to get all the information needed. At least you wouldn't think, unless Georgia was just playing hardball. And then also all of a sudden, now I will say this, if your attorney all of a sudden dips out and says he can't be involved anymore, you do have to kind of hand over all the information and kind of go through the process. Not again, but kind of figure out where to restart at for Cade. So, I mean, look, I don't even know if we're going to have football season, guys, but I did find it interesting. Another report came out today that it wasn't filed until last week.
Just that the whole deal is really strange, the way it's been handled over there. I mean, it was, you know, like I said, from what little bit I've been told about it, it sounded like a fairly straightforward and issue, you know. And on top of that, with the coronavirus, you know, it would, you know, just seemed like it was academic, considering he was moving, you know, 20 minutes from home rather than 5 hours.
I mean, that's a good point. Hell, you could probably use that, to be honest with you. I don't know if you could use it in January. Cam, I'm sure you've read stuff today about this. And your just overall opinion on the Mays thing, but then also the timing. Is it kind of weird to you, or does it kind of make sense you want to gather up all your facts before you bring a case to the NCAA?
It definitely makes sense that they wanted to have all the information right, you know, for the best case to get the waiver granted. But I do think it's kind of weird timing, unless you kind of are trying to play the pandemic angle and saying, hey, he wants to be closer to home during all this, you know, craziness, don't have anything else. That's the only reason I could see delaying it this long, because I've, like you said, they have so much other stuff going on right now. It kind of just seems like you're throwing it into a pile and hoping they get to it in time. So I think it kind of makes it, like, if we do get football, it kind of puts it to where you're like, ooh, are we going to get this by the season? Or going to be cutting it close on timing, it seems like.
The whole football thing in general is starting to get weary on me.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for people to put their opinion out there because also they think it's politicized.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem that we're running into nowadays. Like, if you say, hey, look, I don't know or believe college football can happen, well, okay, you're politicizing it. But then if you say, yeah, I think it's going to happen, I think there are going to be people in the stands, okay, well, you're politicizing it. It's like you can't find a middle ground where you can just say what you think and not have to worry about if it's going to be politicized or not, Bear. And, like, when the statements coming out yesterday from the SEC, and then we're talking with folks late last night about this, there is some – they don't want to go just conference only too. Like, a complaint that I got was, okay, if you're going to do that, how do you think we're going to have a college football playoff? Like, do they honestly think they're going to line up and play a playoff in January? And that part kind of just blows my mind. Right.
Yeah, no, I don't. I've just assumed we weren't going to have. I really don't think we were going to have bowl games in the playoffs this year. I think we were all just really, at least I was, just hopeful that we could have a somewhat normal regular season, you know, two biggest reasons being, number one, so we could have football and have the sport and all the fun that goes along with it. And number two is the economic implications of, you know, not having college football would be a huge, huge hit to, you know, the economy. It's a billion-dollar industry. So, you know, I don't know. We're living in crazy times, man. It's hard to get a straight answer out of anybody.
Well, a lot of people.
Everybody's so afraid to say anything for fear of, you know, you can't say anything anymore without one side or the other taking offense.
Then it turns into one big dumbass mob where you can't have an opinion. You know, OTAs have started up pretty much at these schools. Most players reported back to campus at Tennessee yesterday. Got back last night. They got a test. Excuse me. There's a reason why you also have not seen numbers from Tennessee. They hadn't tested everybody yet, folks. I keep getting asked, when are they going to release test results? When are they going to release test results? When are they going to release test results? Well, they're not going to release them if they don't have all of them. And then also I was told, Bear, and you've been kind of talking about this lately, they haven't got the test results back yet that they took last week because of the backlog in the system.
Yeah, all the labs are backed up again, and from what I'm understanding that there's a shortage of, and this is something we can definitely ask Dr. Maurice about, there's a shortage of rapid testing right now. And it's just a huge backlog. I was talking with a friend over the weekend who runs one of the labs at one of the local hospitals.
Yeah,
and so it's just they're just overwhelmed right now with the amount of work they have. You know, just backed up.
Cam,
working as fast as they can.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of wondering. Like, Cam, if you had to think of it. You were involved with the track program across the country. So they'd be on campus right now, right?
Yeah.
So who would all be on campus right now, probably? Besides, like, the basketball players are spread out, and they're just, you know, shooting and whatnot. So really, how many student-athletes would be on campus at the moment?
I would say I would definitely, like, track cross-country. They would be doing kind of off-season workouts. They kind of get those started. Women's soccer would be on campus because, like, they were going to play in
August. That's a good point.
So they'd be on campus, and then, like we said, football, basketball.
So that's 200 people in football. Another,
you got to get all the staffs. And
right, men's and women's basketball. Yep. That's probably, I don't know, 60 people total.
Yep.
And probably over 500 people.
I guess all those sports they just delayed, too. You would assume they'd be coming on campus right about now, like volleyball and things like that, if they're already delaying the start of their stuff.
Some baseball's on campus, I've been told.
Yeah, I believe it. They try and get them in as early as possible in all the different programs. So, yeah, there's a good amount of people that have to get tested on campus right now.
So the problem is, Bear, is that if you're trying to test, let's just say 400-plus student-athletes and everything gets backlogged, man. There's no reason, you know. Now we get why there hasn't been anything released as of today. And how much further it goes, and then also do they spend the money to retest them? Like, these are all questions hopefully Dr. Maurice will be able to answer.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of...
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just kind of shooting it in the dark here and trying to figure out. Because there's a stance that, you know, and here's something I want to get into. And we got to take a break here in a minute. So we'll pose this question for the other side. I don't like getting political, so don't take this political when you call in. Early this morning, I had put out retweeted a couple things about mask and whatnot, or, you know, I think Dr. Maurice had put out a tweet about wearing a mask and how it would be helpful if you're 10 feet apart or if you're, you know, 6 feet and you're social distancing. I had a prominent SEC football player DM me this message today on folks wearing masks to save the season. Bear, I quote, "It's been almost 5 months of coronavirus. If folks don't know by now, I don't know when they will. My mental association with what's going on is prepared to be ready regardless." End quote. And he was talking about the season and saving the season. So that's
basically the only thing that, you know, right now that we have is anyway, that along with social distancing and hand washing to somewhat slow the spread of it. It's not about, you know, all of this is a means to an end, and the end being that, you know, the healthcare and the hospitals don't get overwhelmed. We saw in New York in late March and April, and now you're starting to see it in Texas and Arizona. And I mean, who the hell knows what's going on down in Florida? You can't trust any of the numbers. They had somebody made a mistake, and you know, yesterday they put out that, you know, 100% of the tests were positive. And, you know, I mean, you know, that's, there's no way that was right. And
it's kind of hard to hit 100.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's not a lot of accurate information right now, it seems like. So,
well, I want to get into that on the other side from a player's perspective, because I've been told a lot of players don't really want to speak up because they don't know what good it's going to do now when this has been going on for a while. And that's from a player's perspective. That's not what I'm saying. That's from a player's perspective on these different campuses in the SEC. We'll talk about that on the other side. You can call in. Phone lines are open, 865-546-8200. Call in with your opinion. We'll talk about this on the other side. It's Drive, Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Back on the Drive, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Bear and Chance, we got a problem down in the bubble. We got players. I don't know if they're players. Let me rephrase the players thing. Shams. Is that how you say his name, Cam?
Yeah,
Shams,
yeah.
Sharina?
Yeah, I always just call him Shams.
Shams says, Bear, Cam, multiple tips have been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations on campus, sources tell The Athletic. Bear, they're ratting down there.
They're ratting people out.
They're ratting each other out.
Now, was this the guys that had already got caught getting food, or is this like new people? They've kind of had, because there was a couple guys that got caught up yesterday getting like DoorDash or something, and they like cross, there's like a line they're not allowed to leave, and they cross the line to pick up their food.
Yeah, they said they couldn't leave it at the guard station.
Yeah. But now they have to quarantine because they crossed that line.
Just for some DoorDash?
Yeah.
Or some Uber Eats.
Yeah, you can't go outside that line. And another, the one guy left his room during the initial 48-hour, their initial quarantine. When they first got down to the bubble.
That's when you like you go on a church retreat and they stay at a hotel, but then the church leaders put tape on your door to see who came out at night and who didn't. And then you have to figure out a way to put the tape back on the door like it was, where you don't get caught for leaving your hotel room. You ever had to do that, Bear? I don't know if they did that in like 70s, 80s.
No, I didn't usually get to go on the church retreats. I didn't do a whole lot of them. I guess we did retreats in high school, like class retreats, but no, I didn't go on a whole lot of church trips.
I don't think it's even like church retreats. I just think they try to keep up with them by doing that part. No, but you got
anything, any trips like that where there was a coach out in the hallway sitting in a chair, and, you know, it's kind of hard to fool him.
I just think it's kind of, you always knew the rats would come out, so you don't know if it's guys playing tricks on each other. Or you also don't know if it's other, like, team interns calling the hot anonymous line to rat out other players. If somebody ratted out LeBron, LeBron would be pissed.
That's such an ugly phrase, though. Is it really ratting somebody out, or are you just protecting, you know, the integrity of the bubble?
Depends on their intent.
Bear, I get where you're coming from. Cam, I would think if another player or an intern saw some player sneaking out to the guard shack to either grab some food or pick up a lady friend, I think that I would call that a rat. Just because, I get it because of Corona. Why not confront the person themselves? This is not like the Masters tip line where you call in and say a ball has been moved or it's shifted on a chip. I don't know. I don't like that. I'd like to be the person taking the calls, though.
Oh, yeah. I bet those are fun.
Right. Yeah, yeah. An NBA Anonymous tip line. Can I help you? Well, this sure as hell sounds like LeBron. Who really is this? Is this you, Chris Paul?
Oh, Chris Paul's definitely calling on people.
Yeah, Chris Paul. And Kyrie Irving, too.
Yeah.
Just spewing on people. No, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, one of the guys had, like, tweeted something about, like, hey, guys, if you need food, you can go get, like, these delivery sources. And then the two guys got caught, and he replied to his tweet. He said, wait, never mind.
No.
And so you're like, oh, is this connected? Like, did they see the tweet? And kind of think, oh, damn, sweet, I can order some food. But, yeah.
Oh, that'd be miserable. Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, see, I'm not down for that. So, I don't know. I found that interesting coming out of the break. Bear, let's get into it for a minute, man. Your thoughts on, let's see how to phrase it. Should the university approach student athletes to put out some kind of PSA, if you want to call it that? Or do you think we're so far in it now that it really doesn't matter what the student athletes say? People are going to have their own opinions either way.
Yeah, no, I mean we're into the tall grass now. There's no point, and I don't really think that we should be asking them to do PSAs for anything more, you know, unless they're fundraising for, you know, something like a children's hospital or anything like that. But everybody is so entrenched, I think, and hardened in whatever position and side of this. The issue that you're on, that it doesn't matter whether or not, you know, any of the college football players say, you know.
They just want to play. But from what I gathered, Bear, is they don't think they're going to play. A good amount of them do, but they're still preparing every day to act like they are. And also, by the way, I was told this yesterday. These, quote, mandatory sessions that the players are in right now, it's the same damn thing they've been doing for the last month and a half. But now you can review a little film if you want. It's the same thing. Some players are going into the workroom. Some players are grabbing their box lunches and then leaving type deal. It's nothing really new right now. And I found that part interesting as well. But I don't know how the players get their message out there anymore, because you know they want to play, but also they want answers. So I'm trying to get in the mind of an 18. Okay, Cam, so I mean, if you're playing a sport and they're saying, hey, come do this, this, and this,
yep,
just so you can make it until the end of July and August and be able to start fall camp and try to continue things moving, do you come out and say something? Because a lot of these players read the replies to all these tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're social media savvy. So I just wonder, would it actually make any kind of big difference if a player said anything to their fans?
I think it'd be some people try and use it to help, like, push their message forward for sure. Like, if you've got fans that have been trying to convince people to, like, for example, wear masks or do something like that, having an athlete backing it up kind of would help them kind of try and push that narrative. But I am kind of on, like, Bear's side, but I think at this point, whichever side you're on any of this, I don't think there's much changing your mind at this point. People are pretty much decided one way or the other how they feel about this whole situation, and they're kind of just going to roll with that unless it, like, something impacts them, you know, personally almost. And, you know, kind of, you need some big moment to kind of change your mindset in that point. But, yeah, I don't know how much the athletes can do at this point. They kind of came out a little too slow with this. Like, I think if you would have, like, a PSA kind of, like, at the beginning of this.
If Philip Fulmer 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Would have said this. And I think it was about three and a half weeks ago. Mayor, mm-hmm. I want your opinion on this. If he'd have come out and said that video, hey, you better, I don't know, and I'm not sure, this is not a political statement here, so don't take it, but you better mask up or do everything you can to take the precautions if you want college football. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, that's pretty much what he did, though.
Yeah, but he came out and said, we anticipate having a full stadium in the fall and do what you're supposed to do. Like, let's be realistic. They were not having a full stadium in the fall since March. There was no way you were putting 100,000 people in that stadium. So why come out, waste the time on a PSA saying, you know, if you want a full stadium, make sure you do the right things like washing your hands and whatnot. When, I mean, hell, even Nick Saban, you know how hard it is to get Nick Saban to do something? They got Nick Saban to do a PSA with that stupid elephant mascot. And that's hard to do. Nick Saban just doesn't do regular old stuff like that for the hell of it. So the fact that he was saying, do what you have to do, wear a mask, we want to play football. Right. I just feel like some institutions and universities had the ability to raise awareness, and it might not have been much. People might not have even cared. But when you were still talking about 3 weeks ago about full stadiums, when you should have just been talking about saving the season and wearing some masks, I think they missed the boat, Bear.
Yeah, but I mean, it, at the time, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, it looked like that we were probably, you know, I mean, hell, Russ wouldn't roll out full capacity himself.
Yeah.
Up there, so, you know, I mean, things just changed just on a dime. I guess when, you know, everything caught up with us. I think it was a combination of the reopenings when they moved into, you know, phase two and I think even phase three in some of the states. And then you had, you know, mass protests, and every doctor we've had on our show said that was, you know, not probably the greatest idea in the world. You go shoulder to shoulder and, you know, bellowing, you know, screaming and yelling. And, you know, I mean, what's the phrase? The chickens have come home to roost. There was some, you know, from a public health standpoint, some really irresponsible behavior from starting right around that last weekend in May all the way through June. So, you know.
Yeah.
And the fact that they weren't, the states when we reopened, they weren't, I don't know that, you know, everybody wanted it to be over so badly, and, you know, the curve had flattened, but, we, you know, it seemed like we reopened to, it's just a combination of a lot of different things, and it's got us completely in a total jam again. We're jammed up with it, you know, in some ways a lot worse than we were back in March and April. I mean, in March and April, it was just, you know, New York State, Washington, and California. Now it's, you know, raging through the Sun Belt. So
this is what Coach O said to the vice president today. This is not my decision, but it's my own personal opinion. We need to play football. I can't wait to play football. We need this season. I think we are going to play. I like his optimism.
Very optimistic.
There's one thing you take away from Ed O. He wants to play some damn football. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care. I mean, he cares about his players, and we say that, oh, he doesn't care if they're sick or not. He wants to play football. We know that he cares for his players and his health. But also, how much is that ad lib to the vice president?
Yeah, I don't know. I would hope to God. I mean, that, no offense to Ed Orgeron, but I don't think we should be taking public health advice from Ed Orgeron. You know, we all want there to be football. I think we can all agree on that, desperately. But you know, if they can do it safely without, you know, it's not so much the risk to the players playing, because I mean the statistics. I mean, it's a statistical fact they are not, and most of those guys are. Almost all of them are certainly not in what would be considered a high-risk group for complications. But, you know, we can't if it's a deal where it's going to put any kind of extra burden on an overworked healthcare system that's dealing with this right now, then I don't know what they're supposed to do. You know, there's just really no easy answers out of this, so...
No. Look. I understand. I get both sides of it. I'm just looking at it from a player standpoint right now. I am not a student athlete. I'm just passing along what a student athlete had messaged me. And here's why I say that. He must have had a very strong opinion on things to just message me out of the blue and how they're feeling at that particular SEC school about what's going on. And a lot of these guys just don't know. Like they're just being told what to do. Come to campus, go do your online class, come work out, then leave the facility, take your box lunch, leave the facility, come back the next day, do the same thing. Now we're getting these quote OTAs where you're able to use a ball, but that you're not in helmets, pads, shoulders, all that stuff. Yeah. I just have to wonder, Bear, you know, the student athlete said as well, and I didn't add this in there, but he said he's pessimistic that we're actually going to be able to play football this fall. Like he doesn't know, and he's not hearing anything different besides the coaches that are preparing them to play. And I think that's the best thing in the world to happen. I think that the SEC pushing off their decision to the end of July, I think that's cool. But also, Chance, I'm sorry, I called Chance Cam. The chances are. Well, I was about to say the chances are that we're able to start fall camp on time are starting to dwindle day by day. So I don't, Cam, so I don't see how, like, here's my thing. If they don't make a decision by last day of July, how do you let these players go strap up and play fall camp and practice and grinding all over each other and sweating and breathing?
Yeah, they're closing their window fast. Like, the window is closing for, like you said, having everything on time. And it's, I think it's a bad sign that they keep pushing back the decision-making, of course, because it shows that right now they're not confident in the decision they would make. And they're trying to push it back, you know, for every hope that, you know, cases start clearing up or whatever happens that needs to happen to give them a better shot to play football, you know, starts trending that way. And they hope by end of July... we've kind of went back to, I guess, slowing down the spread or something like that, and so they feel comfortable enough to, you know, to make a confident decision and not sound like they're the bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I understand it, and I agree with you, but also I look at the point and say, okay, you know, if you're going to push back the season starting, like say they push back the season starting till I don't know, October.
Yeah.
Okay, then that gives you more time for fall camp. That gives you more time to push things back a little bit. You've got things open. But do you, And we'll discuss this on the other side as we wrap up the hour. Do you keep Bear pushing back things just to be able to hopefully get a start time because the numbers look good? I mean, that could get all the way up to the mid-August and still not know. But you keep pushing things back, you're going to run out of time when it comes to finishing things up into the winter. So it's such a double whammy that they put themselves in. It's not their fault. It's not the SEC's fault.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, hey, we've been talking about this for 3 months, 4 or 5 months. Now all of a sudden July, the middle of July comes and you're shocked that we're at this point. We've been getting to this point for 3.5 months. So that's what kind of puts me back. We'll talk about that more on the other side. Take your phone calls as well. Josh Pate, 247 Sports, going to join us at 425. And then Dr. Bill Maurice at 505. We're rolling along here on a Tuesday. It's Drive, Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Back on the Drive, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Let's go to the phone lines, wrap up hour number one. My favorite caller in the world, T-Cart. What's up, buddy? Hey, T-Cart.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. I had a lot of... for the intro, man.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some things. I want to say that I honestly do not believe that we are going to have a football season other than a in-conference season, and that is dwindling. And I'm almost at like 20% chance of having football at all. One of the reasons why I believe that is, you know, it is July the 13th, and we have nothing with it. My biggest issue is whether you wear a mask or not, whatever, but the cases continue to rise. Now, I've told you that I believe the counting of cases is skewed. I believe that it's skewed in the ways toward COVID. But no matter what, that's how they're being counted. I just don't see them playing football while cases continue to rise. And even though the death rate's going low, you're still going to have more deaths. I just don't see football happening at all from a legal standpoint. My daughter starts her school on Friday. On Friday, yes. So take her to a nice little place in Blount County.
Oh, okay.
As a 5-year-old in kindergarten, they're required to wear masks. I had a conversation with the principal, and he's on my side with it, where he was wanting, they were trying to work for months to try to get the kids to be kind of an optional thing. The Tennessee Department of Health puts out a statement basically saying that, or guidelines saying, kids wear masks and stay 6 feet apart. Legally, if someone gets COVID and they did not require the kids to wear masks, they can bring that in, sue the school, and they'd win because they could bring that thing in. How are you going to do the same thing with football? You see what I'm saying? Like, how are you going to be able to social distance? How are you going to be able to do all these things? And I just don't see that happening.
Well, here, let me cut you off. So
yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. So, a good amount of players, when I say good amount, I'll probably say 25-30% of the players live off campus. I'm just guesstimating here. Freshmen have to live on campus. Most of them do because here's a little trick. They all get checks for rent if they live off campus. So some of them take advantage of that part. So you'll see, like, seniors, some juniors living off campus, maybe a couple of – so what I'm getting at, here's also what they've done. At Stokely, right next to the football facility, they put their GAs in dorms. Now, I'm sorry, dorms is the wrong word, suites. They have 4 rooms per suite. They've put 1 GA in each suite, and there's like 10 to 13 of them. The reason why they're doing that is if they have an outbreak on the team, let's say 6 or 7 or 8 players get it, they will move that GA out of that suite, move the other one out of that suite. So then they'd have two dorms just for COVID people that have COVID. Do you see where I'm getting at here?
So right.
What they're doing is they're doing this kind of smart. They've taken out a bunch of rooms on that floor, and they're just putting one GA to live in at a time just to keep up with it. But then when an outbreak happens or players get COVID, they'll move those GAs out, let the players go live there, and keep them all together and not let them try to spread it. So I agree. Social distancing is pretty hard when you're a college athlete. You want to be around your buddies. You're all hanging out. You know, you're doing the thing. It's hard to keep them apart. But I look at it in a sense of, too, that I can see, and we got to take a break in 2 minutes, I can see where the players, like the one student athlete who messaged me and said, you know what, this thing's been going on for now. Pretty much what he's saying is, what's the point?
Right.
What's the point of asking now? We've literally got 2.5-3 weeks to turn this thing around, or we potentially don't get to play football. So he's like, this thing's been going on for 3 to 4 months. What's the point of doing this now in the middle of July?
I completely understand, and I think he's right. As in, what's the point of doing it now? And I don't believe you can get it turned around. I don't believe that can be. And that really, really sucks. And I will be very surprised, let me just say that, if the season goes as planned. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thanks, bud. Have a great day. No, we'll talk about that further on the other side after Bears top 4-4. About the season and where we're at, and can you keep these players apart, and how each universe... Hell, the athletic director at Florida came out today and said he had COVID. So it's hitting a bunch of different people. It's just all about, you know, the infection compared to dying is the best way to put it, too. Talk about that on the other side. We got Bears top 4-4 coming up next. Looking forward to that. This is The Drive. We're on Fan Run Radio.
Drive.